It is Wednesday, the 13th of June, and this is episode 122 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along. I'm Chris. I'm joined by Ian.
Good evening.
And that's it today. No Henry. But we've had Apple announcements and all sorts going on. So we couldn't wait till Thursday to do this. We're on a Wednesday.
I'm so excited.
Exciting times. And actually, quite a good announcement by Apple. Going against their last two, where again, I swore I would never watch a keynote again. And I did this time. Quite enjoyed it. So we've had WWDC and lots of people are enjoying the fruits of the apple tree.
That was quite poetic for you.
Almost. I don't know where that came from. It's going to be all downhill from now on. So we've had announcements. They've gone through basically product announcements. They've updated some stuff. They've also talked about iOS 6 and a number of other bits and bobs. So that pretty much sums it up, right?
No.
Well, can we move on?
There was three big things, wasn't there? There was laptop updates, there was Mountain Lion, and there was iOS 6.
There was indeed. So let's start with the Mac, the updates then. We can skip over the kind of core MacBook Pros, I think. They've had spec updates, I think it's fair to say.
Yep.
Unless you want to read out some specs. Nah. But effectively, take what they were before, add a couple of numbers to it, and that's about it.
Yep.
Slightly cheaper, I can't remember.
The price MacBook Airs, I think, are slightly cheaper, but the only thing I guess that stood out, USB 3 is a fairly nice thing to add in, and the CPUs were decent and a little spec boost. But to me, the Airs were already pretty much almost like a, if I call it almost like a perfect machine. Really light, really portable, pretty fast. It's hard to find fault with them.
But their big announcement was their new flagship MacBook Pro, basically.
Damn them. Damn them.
I mean, it's kind of a convergence between what the MacBook Air is and what the MacBook Pro is, really. I think that's a good way of summing up, but with additional elements. The key killer factor, I guess, being a ridiculously high resolution monitor, which they're...
So the screen is 15 inch, but its pixels is 2880 by 1800.
Now, I mean, at one point I was thinking, yeah, that, you know, it's big resolution and how much, you know, is that, how much of use is that? Until you said that that's higher than the 27 inch iMac.
Oh yeah.
And the 27 inch iMac is a ridiculously high resolution monitor. Spread over 27 inches. So this, what is it going to be like if they try and do a Retina on an iMac?
And I think you'll see that next year,
really?
Year after.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's enough computing power in the world.
No, there is. We're on a path.
I'd have to put more fans in.
We are on a path. And interestingly, so anyway, we're on a path, I think, to ultimately like 4K TVs, and it's the computer market that's driving it, not HDTV.
Computers are going to get there first, I think. Yeah. So basically, it's... They've got rid of the hard disk, so it's all flash-based storage, and they've compressed everything. So it's basically a third thinner than the old MacBook Pro. I think that's about the stats on it.
Yeah.
But it does look, it's only just slightly fatter than the MacBook Air, really.
Slightly fatter, but the MacBook Air does taper, and that tapering does feel very different in the hand.
Yes, so this is sort of, it's a straight edge.
And weight-wise, it's certainly beefier. I mean, it's...
4.5 pounds, I think
they said.
Yeah,
so it's just over 2 kilos, whereas I think the MacBook Airs are about 1.3 or 4 kilos. So there's a fair bit of extra weight in them.
So there's still a market for the Air, especially if you really are wanting to be portable, but it's a pretty special bit of software. They're updating software as well to take an account of the higher resolution.
It's a special edition line. So they've updated all their kind of primary apps, and also they've updated Aperture, Final Cut Pro. I mean, the ridiculous screenshot, you couldn't really tell from Aperture, because all it basically said is, this is a fantastically massive, I mean, it's four times the resolution that you could have before. And they were saying, you know, there's Aperture. It was Final Cut Pro, and it had all these windows, and it had what looked like a really small window on the top right, and that's full 1080p.
That's right.
And it was ridiculous. It's like, wow, that's...
And it was powerful enough to run a full 1080p in one of its corners and have 9 preview simultaneously running streams so you could sort of do director type cut betweens. And that's serious power. That and, you know, it wasn't long ago that that was up in the galleries of TV studios and they wouldn't, you know...
And amazing. Diablo 3.
Yes, so that was a... Yeah, they moved it to high res. I don't know how they're going to do it.
And certainly, I think I saw one of the reviews today. I think it was in Gadget today. It says, ran Diablo 3, everything maxed out, apart from anti-aliasing, because you don't need that many pixels. And they were getting between 29 and 32 frames per second.
Okay, just about playable then, so you probably knock it down a bit.
Which for a laptop.
I'm sure it could probably cook some bacon at the same time as playing Diablo.
They did say it got warm, but it's interesting, like one of the... I'm just trying to quickly go on. Ian Betteridge tweeted up today that he got a loaner from Apple for the week, and does anybody have any questions? And mine straight away was fan noise and heat, please. Because
now the fan noise is an interesting one. I love the way they pick out these stupid anal details that they
believe they've redesigned the fans slightly so that instead of a kind of high pitched whine noise, it's kind of spread across a few lower frequencies, and it's not as irritating and annoying and not as loud. And certainly some of the there you go, you're here for a reason. I just say they've done something fancy. But certainly some of the reviews and some of the comments seem to be bearing out that it does make a difference, and it's a lot less quieter. Ian replied back, and he was it's almost silent even when rendering video. You can hear when the fan kicks in, but not much. Heat, not as hot as my regular MacBook Pro. So yes, it gets hot, but it's not as bad as the current MacBook Pro that he's got.
And yeah, my MacBook Pro, if it's on your lap, you worry about your ability to bear children after a while. That's interesting. I mean, say fans have always been the bane of of Apple, haven't they? They hate them for the noise and all that. So
and it's
interesting. They've kind of had to come up with a solution.
But the MacBook Air has fans, and they do kick in if you push it. You know, so it's just I guess with the Air, you're probably not going to be doing too much rendering, etc. Whereas the MacBook Pro is more cut out for that, so it's probably going to kick in a lot more.
Yep. So that was the new MacBook Pro.
And just me personally, the reason I'm saying damn them, I was convinced that the Air would come out, and I was getting Air.
But they've done the other thing.
But well, it's not that. I guess with hindsight, you think, well, probably the graphical power that needs to drive that display was probably too much for an Air this year. But you know, next year, year after, you'll probably find it. I just think you're on a path now with Apple. They're not going to keep it it's only going to be that MacBook Pro is the only thing that gets a Retina. It will just start to spread, the same as the iPhone came out, and then it was the iPad. Now we've got a laptop. At some point, the desktop will support it. At some point, the MacBook Airs will support it.
As much as anything, it's going to be when the manufacturers get up to speed and it actually becomes viable. I think that's more than anything. They're kind of waiting for the technology to become viable on a cost basis. Because that's one thing we haven't touched on. This is an expensive bit of kit.
So it's 18...
You only get 256 gigabytes of flash RAM at the base level. And that's costing...
1,800.
1,800 quid. So it's an expensive bit of kit, and their lowest price before was was cheaper than that, wasn't it?
For a MacBook Pro, it was far less than that.
Yeah,
I'm sure. When I bought mine 4 or 5 years ago, it was $1,300 I paid.
Yeah. So it's expensive bit of kit, and that it shows because of the kit they've got in it. But yes, it does bump up the price. So it's expensive.
I'll be honest, I'm in a real dilemma. It's like spend around about $1,000 for the 13-inch MacBook Air that I really fancied. And that will do me great, but I know as soon as I see that display, I'll be like,
"Go see it, go see it, Gav, deep wallets." But you've got to remember what you were going to buy it for, and that's the end of the day. What was the reason you're buying it?
And so I think, in 4 weeks' time,
lightness and portability
4 weeks time,
probably
I'll do my review of my Retina display, MacBook Pro. I know I'm weak.
It's just too weak. So we had OS X updates. I almost feel like skipping over quite a lot of this. So although we saw a lot of it in action, they've sort of talked about it before, and we've talked about quite a lot of it before, because they did go through some of the big features ahead of this.
It wasn't. I didn't think there was too much here. to be honest.
No, it's talking just more about, I mean, showing you how the notifications are going to work, the inbuilt notifications. Sort of they come from the right hand side of the screen and they're fairly unobtrusive and you swipe them in and out just as you would expect.
It looked quite nice. No, it was.
They've got some more deep integration with those notifications as well, so you can go straight to different apps. And iMessage, they talked about as having, you know, they're fully integrated now, so you can.
I think there was a couple of little touches I noticed when it with the notification center. It was things like plug in a projector and we'll automatically switch them all off because we know you're doing a presentation. And it's things like that. It's like just little.
Yeah, it's kind of someone's thought that through. Touches.
And it's. And messages, look, it looks fine, but messages for me has been really flaky, you know, on the Mac side.
I just don't use it.
It's flaky enough in blooming the iPhone. The amount of messages.
Yeah, and you said that you don't always get the messages through and not always to the right place, and it's annoying. So that's, you know.
And there was some crazy stats.
Remember? Oh, God, they were bonkers stats.
I mean, I know
they used a trillion.
1.5 trillion push notifications, 7 billion a day, 1 billion messages a day.
There's a lot of stuff going on. But that's probably why it's delaying your messages.
It's some of the numbers they trotted out. We didn't even cover them earlier on, but it's just phenomenal amounts of numbers.
That's because you love your numbers and I just get a bit phased by them.
Mm.
so we're going to see iOS 10. That's coming, is it end of July, I think they said?
It's July. So they didn't say end, July. They just said it was July and it's $20, but that will equate to 14 of our UK pounds.
14 quid still, and that but one update, one purchase will update all your Macs. So you have multiple devices, you can one update.
And importantly, so, it's not just 14 to go from lion to mountain lion. You can go from leopard and snow leopard. Yes. So really, I mean, they're really being aggressive.
Is it leopard or I thought it was snow leopard only?
I think it was leopard as well. But being really aggressive and saying, look, just give us your 14 quid and we'll get you updated. Because it helps them, it helps the developers. It's really got a couple of things. I thought Safari updates. We talked about this with Chrome a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it was last week or before, just been a bit kind of slow. I thought that some of the Safari updates were really nice. So they've got the unified, you know, search bar and...
Hooray!
Exactly. I just think the stuff with iCloud and tab syncing between all your devices, I can see me with the Mountain Lion coming out, actually making the switch back to Safari and using that as
my
primary
browser. Yeah, it did look alright. It did look, and again, the thought.
Go on, negative water. I can tell by the tone.
There's a but in there, which is you have to make sure you go and turn on your third party cookies, otherwise everything's broken.
What do you mean everything's broken?
Any bit of site that is embedded in another site, which happens all over the place, just doesn't work.
Anyway, I've never noticed a problem, which maybe means I've got it switched on, but naysayer. PowerNap, I thought was worth mentioning as well.
Oh yeah, PowerNap. Because
I put it in. Apple really do like cheesy names.
They do.
Because it came up and says, hey, we've got a new feature, PowerNap, and people are going like, sniggering away. But basically, it was another little bit of iOS or a kind of hidden feature of Windows 7 that they're going to promote more in Windows 8, that while your computer's sleeping, it can do tasks.
All it just means is that your computer is not sleeping. And in some ways, I'm a bit worried by that. You know when computers do stuff which you're not in control of?
Hold on, your iPhone and your iPad aren't sleeping and they're getting nice things in the background. Let's see the fact that I can get a magazine in the background and when I pick it up in the morning and go, it's there and I sit in the plane and go, ooh, I've got a magazine. That's fantastic. That's the future to me.
I like feeling in control and not being able to turn off your device is a bit annoying.
Well, you know, you can turn off, it's going to be sleeping. It's not going to make a noise. It's not going to do things. But it'll get some updates overnight if you've got a...
It just means iCloud will screw up my internet connection even more than it does already.
It won't. It also, backing up...
Oh, it won't.
Backing up while sleeping?
Backups, what are they?
Yeah, I know that's not true. You're now going to tell me yes, it is.
No, I do backup.
Good.
But I do it manually.
Yeah. So then anyway. That seemingly is only working with the new Airs and... MacBook Pros, but they reckon it's like a firmware update to get other. Oh, and while I remember, don't install, if you've got a Thunderbolt machine, don't install that Thunderbolt update because it's wrecking Macs.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's quite a lot of people have basically won't boot, and the only fix is to reinstall the operating system, which
Ouch. Is
a real.
Hope
oucher.
They've got stuff backed up.
Yeah. So I've actually been doing that more and more recently, just because Lion's been a bit buggy. I've not been putting the updates on as soon as they come out, which I used to do. It used to be like, oh, update, run, update. And it's like, no, I'll just let others have a crack first. I'll wait a couple of days just in case. Yes, right. I thought pairing that was quite nice.
AirPlay mirroring they've rolled out.
Yeah, great. Game Center. I guess the only interesting thing about that was actually playing against people on iPads from your Mac.
Yeah, so as long as the app supports it, yep, you can play cross device.
But I guess we're going to see Words with Friends and Carcassonne and all that coming to the Mac.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to tout how easy it was to port from an iOS to Mac, and whether it is, who knows. I missed out on, Dictation. We didn't talk about Dictation, so they've built that into anywhere. They touted it as anywhere you can type, you can talk now. So that's quite an interesting feature. Windows had that forever and never, ever works properly. So
no.
Why would you bother?
No. And I guess I've not used Siri too much. The times I've used it in the 4S, it wasn't very good, and we'll come on to it when we talk about iOS 6. Mm-hmm. So I am more optimistic that it might actually offer some. So I guess the issue I've always had is it's getting to know how to do the punctuation properly and how to format it properly using the voice commands. If you don't do it enough, it becomes difficult, and you have to end up editing your doc.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of chicken and egg. You need to use it more to make it more reliable.
Twitter and Facebook integration as well. We'll come onto them in iOS 6, but they are also in the OS 10 updates.
And I just hope the annoying little whistle as you tweet. I just hope that disappears. But it looked pretty slick that, you know, from anywhere, even in like full screen apps, you can easily just get a notification or send out a photo, send it out via iMessage. You know, see that sharing, which I was really cynical about, actually looks not too bad an option. You know, you can bring your full screen app and just say share, and out it goes.
As long as the people you're sharing it with also have a Mac and you know that and all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, but I just know sensible people and they all have Macs. How arrogant. What a twat. What a cock I've turned into.
I'm going to leave Apple because I can't possibly own a platform with people like you.
Drip, drip, drip.
Let's go on to iOS then. So iOS 6 was obviously the big announcement. Their yearly update, of which the beta is out now. And early, did they call it a near final beta? Just beta. So you've installed it.
I have installed it. I went for the iPad because usually the first few betas aren't tremendously optimized for battery life.
And has our friend Shaq, he's suffered on battery, well, I understand. Is that right?
He's had battery issues all for the last couple of weeks, similarly with his phone. It's a bit of a leap that he installed it on his phone and he's now seen it's worse. And it's just like, well, there you go then. Well.
Yeah, it wasn't. So they've expanded Siri. Siri's getting big. It's trying to. It is all invasive. They are literally trying to use it everywhere now.
So don't read my notes too closely in this one, because I was typing these as I kind of watched the live blogs, and as they were talking about Siri, I was like, "Girl, yeah, it's never been rolled out here. All this stuff's American because there's all of the sports stuff."
Yeah, they said they rolled it out into sports, and they touted it with, you know, American football stuff and baseball stuff, which. Didn't understand, but the scoreboards that popped up looked nice, and the
which you mean you know, didn't the stats understand? You... Come on,
yeah, I mean, I'm you know just making it sound worse than it was.
Exactly.
The scoreboard and the stats integration looked quite interesting.
Exactly.
Obviously, you're in this protected environment, and I have never used Siri to know how it really whether it does feel like that. But then they did say, it's going to be UK. There's going to be UK content as well, so Premiership's going to be in there and.
And I can confirm, because it's also coming to the iPad. So it's the first time I've used Siri in anger, and it works. It works with my Ouija accent. Generally about 80-90% of the times it's worked. There's a few words that definitely trips up, and it's constantly tripping up no matter how.
Ball bag.
No matter how. No, I've not tried that. Never heard of and because if I was saying it, I would say ball bag rather than ball bag. Yeah,
whatever.
There's a difference. It's all about the pronunciation. But I was really surprised, and the nice thing is that finally in the UK support means that we can ask for like directions. You can ask for, you know, Greek restaurants, Indian restaurants, you know, what is the best rated restaurants around this area, and it's bringing it back. And Siri's now brings it back with Yelp ratings, so you can say show me it by distance, show me it in the map, show me it by actual ratings, and it worked really well. I was quite surprised that for the first beta it was as strong as it was.
It did. Yeah, the demo certainly looked impressive, like I say, and you're saying it's working in real life.
I couldn't send a tweet, but I sent a tweet from Shaq's iPhone today, so I don't know if that's just an iPad thing or maybe I've not got something set up in the iPad properly. But you can, you know, you just hold down the button and tweet. This is a test from Siri, and up pops a tweet panel, and then you just say send. But you can do things like, you know, hashtag cheesy and add location, and you can just verbalize all of that and then verbalize. I can't believe I said that.
Excellent.
And then you can just say send and it sends it. And that worked really well. So yeah, it's actually surprisingly usable.
Okay, now I'm probably skipping ahead of here, but taking to the next point. But they shouldn't really call it Siri anymore. They should really just call it Kit, because they've got this new thing called, was it called Eyes Free Mode now?
Eyes Free.
Eyes Free Mode. So they're basically this is a feature for being in your car. You have your phone sat there, and they're integrating buttons onto manufacturer's steering wheels basically, which call up the Siri, and you just talk to your phone and then Siri talks back what the results are. So you basically can be driving your car and you no longer even have to press a button or look at the screen. The screen doesn't even light up apparently, so you can get information on the go without actually having to do it. And I just thought they should have done some play on Kit then, because it's awesome. I loved it.
The only, I guess, one little point, it was every manufacturer apart from Ford, and Ford have really been going strong on their kind of, we've got this integration.
Why didn't they go for it?
I don't know why. So I guess there'd be some crazy...
It's probably a bit transitory, isn't it? And they maybe thinking, why are we both at the expense of putting this blooming button on when, you know, will it work with Android? No, it won't, because it's not a feature. Anyway.
Yeah, but it looked really good. And as I said, nice to see the UK getting the features that America have had for quite a while. No API support, but a lot of people predicted that they would actually spend a lot of effort, you know, rolling out a Siri API and allowing app developers to tag in.
I think it will happen, but I think at this early stage, they have to be in control of this, otherwise it can get out of hand.
And I think you're right.
And I think they want to be able to... it's probably a really complicated thing to be able to... Even if you've got a nice data set there, to be able to work it into that natural language.
And that's,
you know,
I think the
APIs will come, just not yet. Yeah. But they want that experience to be...
I totally agree. One of the other podcasts I was listening to was saying the same thing. It's not just speech recognition. It's actually understanding people's intent as you're saying something.
If it comes back with the wrong information, it's worse than useless.
Yes.
Facebook and Twitter API, integration, including the API, so the developers can do it. Now... all very good. So basically you can share, link, post out, tweet, anything, and developers can now include that in your apps. But what worries me, and I don't know if you had the same feelings about it, I don't mind so much Twitter, but Facebook, it's already everywhere and it's hard to keep yourself away from it. And this kind of, I don't know where the permissions come in. You know, when you have apps in websites and stuff, you have to give it permission.
Yes.
This is, you are logging in at the root level of your phone.
Yep.
Does that then give it permission to do anything that it wants?
It popped up and says, because when I turned it on, it says, I want to access your address book because it shares contacts, and I want to access your calendar because it shares birthdays. And I was like, yeah, go on. And I guess I've become, you know how you're a bit blasé about, yeah, all my details are out there?
Yeah.
I've become that about Facebook, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I say unfortunately because I feel like I've handed the keys to all my data to young Mr. Zuck.
When an app now comes along and says it wants to use your root level integration, does it then have access to everything? And you know, it's going to be apps start, you know, can apps without your permission then start pinging spam into your timelines and pinging photos
that's too early for me to know that right now. And I don't understand it.
There are my first questions I have. Twitter I can understand because you feel in control of it, whether and you know even if app I think, tweet something out, I don't know
if I think back to the if I look at the apps that then use Twitter as it's baked into iOS 5, the app still asks you, can I access your Twitter accounts on the phone? And you can say yes or no.
Which kind of makes more sense to me.
And I think it will do the same for Facebook. But the bit I've always been annoyed about is it doesn't then say, there's not another granular step that says, I'm accessing your Facebook account, and then here's what I'm going to do with it. I guess there's less with Twitter, but in Facebook, there's so much there around, can I post to the wall?
Can I post as you?
Can I see your friend's data? Can I go in and see, you know, X, Y, and Z? I don't know. I'm assuming you're going to have to get that, or else you're into that hidden world of, okay, so I've given access to, I don't know, some app that shares photos. Can it see all your photos?
I know that we're going to see stories about this, and they're going to get in trouble about something or other.
It's interesting, when Steve Jobs was around, there was a whole load of talk about Facebook integration in iOS 5, and it was only Twitter, and all the rumors were that they just couldn't sign up to the onerous terms from Facebook. And Tim Cook, when he did his D10, but All Things D interview a couple of weeks back, and he'd be saying Facebook, great company, we have a strong relationship, and he kept on saying, it's like wait and see, watch this space. And it was a big hint that something's coming, and they've actually integrated it really quite deeply. As I said, the calendar and the contact integration is really deep.
So it will show all your friends,
iTunes store and the music store are all now Facebook likes.
Wow, yeah.
So you go into the app store, and against an app, you can say like this, and it'll ping it onto your wall. So it's fairly deep. It's not just other apps can use it. They've kind of ping's gone. So I think they're saying already in iTunes, ping's going to disappear. So I think you're going to see exactly, because ping to me was just something they tacked on when the Facebook deal went, fell through. It was like, well, okay, well, we'll just do our own, call it ping.
Pointless waste of space.
It was rubbish.
So they've tweaked the phone a bit, actually. Able to ignore your phone.
Yeah, I'd put low hanging fruit, because when he says, yeah, we've updated the phone app, I was like, sod off, this is rubbish. But actually, some of the options are quite nice.
So you can set up a do not disturbs.
Quite granular, not just general one.
Which will stop those stupid notifications coming through in the middle of the night, which always wake you up. So it was kind of annoying that you couldn't do it anyway. But so you can say, don't disturb me at night, and it won't. So you could even block out incoming calls and stuff. But you can turn them on again. I think you can have it at a level of, always let calls come through from certain people.
You can set up groups, and you can set up users and
favorites and stuff.
Yeah.
But also if someone calls, or you can set it up so that someone calls back within 3 minutes. So obviously they've called you twice, then it will let the second call through. So quite interesting. That again, it shows some clever thinking, and someone's thought it through.
And some nice little options. I tried with Shaq today. I phoned him, if he just pushes up right on the phone, he then gets some quick options to say, "Busy, I'll call you back," and it just sends a message.
Yeah.
And which just being nice. Able to do the swipe and do that, and then put the phone down it's obvious, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's a good addition. I'm sure they've painted it. You can even set up reminders. So instead of sending a message, you can remind yourself to call them back. So you can do it via geofencing, which is clever. So basically, you could say, when I leave here or when I get home, remind me to call them. So
which is really clever, nice. Clever, you know, your loved ones phone you, and you're like, see, when I leave work, remind me to call.
FaceTime, yawn, blah, 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 upgraded, blah, 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 over 3G. Well, they didn't say that. They said over the cellular network.
And I wonder why they said cellular. Is it just because there's now 3G and 4G?
Don't know. They're American.
And I'm just very suspicious when they said cellular. It was like, what does that mean?
Anyway, yawn, yawn, yawn. How many times do you use FaceTime? About twice. Safari on iOS, so they kind of integrated it with they're calling them iCloud tabs. So anything, if you're working on your laptop, you can pick up where you left off on your phone, which is good.
And the offline reading list, and there was this.
So they cache, and if you can say read later, and now it'll cache it, so you can actually read it later, even if you're not connected to the network.
And the good thing, I guess, we've got Instapaper and Pocket and a number of other services, but a lot of people don't actually pick up on those, so it's I guess general users may be good. And I was a bit cynical about these smart app banners. There's nothing worse when you go to a website and it pops up a message that interrupts
something
the browser.
You can't get past, you
and
bastard.
it says we've got an app, and it's like, I know you've got an app.
I want to use the website,
but I don't want to install an app for the one time a year that I go to your website. And what this basically does is it puts a little banner at the top, and it says, by the way, there's an app, and you can click and go to the app store. And also you can click if you've got it installed. So I think the example they showed you was Yelp, and you can click on it and it'll take you to the Yelp app, but also it knows where you are. So instead of taking you to the app and then just dumbly saying there's the app, it takes you to the right place in the app that you were looking at in the website. So I thought that was better. I'm still a bit cynical, but I thought it was better than the kind of pop-ups and the invasive stuff that each kind of, you know, website has done differently. It's all a bit jarring and annoying. So fair play.
Yeah. You can flag messages now. So there's a flagged inbox. This is all their mail stuff.
VIPs.
A feature of pull to refresh. So now they're doing the overstretch refresh method that everyone is using.
But I remember that was only recently that Twitter announced that they were making that a kind of, yes, we've patented it, but anybody can really use it. But it's not, we're not going to aggressively chase it. Because people were wondering, why is Apple's own products not added this when so many third-party ones have?
Yes, they were just checking out that they could really use it.
I don't know. But as usual, Apple, we've done it with a really nifty animation. And developers were like, whoa, wow. And it's like, you saps.
Yeah, exactly. We'll come on to other animations in a minute. Passbook, interesting thing. A new app where they've basically given an interface for tickets and things that you basically what they call QR codes. Is that right, the word?
I think the way I look at it is if you've got store cards or you've got airline tickets or bus tickets or cinema tickets, or you know, you've got your Starbucks card was one of the other examples there. It was almost like the all the stuff in your wallet that's not a credit card is inside Passbook. And they showed nice demos of, like, it was nice demos of things like, you know, you've got your booking card for your airport, and if the gate changes, it updates in here, and
basically, and it also shows on your screen as soon as you're at the airport, so your geolocation picks up that you're near the airport.
I thought this Passbook was excellent. I think it's got real potential.
I think it seems like more potential than near field communication to me.
Absolutely.
I think I see much more of it being used like that. It brings it to the front and centre.
Do you not think the next iPhone is guaranteed is going to have NFC and it'll tie in with Passbook?
Yeah, maybe both. But I mean, obviously QR codes and stuff means that they're relying on people having scanners, which I guess seems like most people do now.
It was really smart with the back to that geofence. You know, you're in Starbucks and up pops Starbucks card without having to do anything. And it popped up, I think, in the lock screen as well, so you didn't really have to do too much. You're unlocking and going through apps and doing all sorts of nonsense.
I don't know how much we're using it in this country at the moment, but it certainly looks like they're kind of heavy on it in America with the thing, you know, having an actual Starbucks card that's got money that you charge up on. And then
the bit I was surprised at as well is right at the start, and I'm back to my stats, so I do apologise, but they were talking about, I think they've got 300 million App Store accounts. So that's like 300 million credit card accounts.
Oh yeah, so they're the biggest credit card to account linked.
Nothing in Passbook, and it's almost like are they trying to grab everything else, and at some point they'll just switch it on and say, and by the way, that's our wallet.
And you'll
just be like, oh, well played.
Well, say all they need to do is as long as this scanning technology catches on, they just need QR codes, and that can be act like your account or whatever.
Yeah.
Guided access, won't touch it too much, but basically it's a feature that allows you to lock your iPad or iPhone, whatever, to one application, and you can even disable bits about it. They kind of gave several assisted learning type examples, as well as you can, you know, museums can lock you into a guided tour, or you you can have tests in schools that kids can't get out of, as in they can't go and play on the iPad in general. So quite an interesting feature. But Maps was a big one. So much touted beforehand. They're moving away from Google and they're going their own route. Now, I have to say, as a first effort, and again, only their demos, I have never used this in real life. It looks impressive. Now, I know you've experienced this a little bit. And certainly the pictures you shoved up on Facebook the other day looked less than high res, shall we say.
So I guess the only reason this was one of the primary reasons I put iOS beta on, it was to try Maps. The rest of the stuff, I must admit, Siri intrigued me, but Maps was the main one. Google Maps is a really It's a really strong product. It's been around for, I don't know how many years, you know, 8 years, 9 years, a long old time.
Is it that long? No, surely not.
Well, I'm thinking it must be.
I don't know.
I'm sure
I lose track of time.
I'm sure Wikipedia will be our friend and we'll find out later on. But then, which means go and look it up while I chat. So I guess the disappointing thing was that, and I fired up the Maps app, it's really crashy, but it is a beta. But I fired it up and it got my location. And the maps looked, you know, the actual static, normal drawn maps looked quite nice. Didn't really notice anything missing as such, but it was like, it's all fine. And I guess I then hit show me satellite and all I got was a pixely blob.
So that little aeroplane flying over your house the other day wasn't an Apple one. Or if that was, it wasn't sent its data back yet.
It reminded me of Flickr always used Yahoo Maps when it was bought by Yahoo. And up here, for this area, Yahoo Maps were awful.
Yeah, you know very well that they are going to be doing the big cities first. 7 years ago, by the way, it was launched.
Oh, okay, it wasn't far off.
No. So they'll take the big cities first because they obviously capture all that. You know,
absolutely.
Most people are going to be in the cities, but I just cannot imagine the task it takes to map the world at that the super high res that Google have got it down to, and street map on top of that. It's going to take a long time for Apple to catch this up.
They're not doing a street map.
Are they just not going to bother?
As far as I understand, they're not doing a street map. And I guess that's the thing that a couple of the people that I talked to on Twitter were like, well, I can't have maps without street map because I find it, or street view, whatever it's called, I find it so useful that I go to the location I'm going to and I have a quick spin round to say, that's what it looks like. Okay, I know when I get there.
It makes much more sense now why Google made their announcement for Maps the other day, because they pretty much stole the thunder of the kind of stuff that Apple was showing, plus a lot more. So
the big thing that Apple showed was flyover,
and Google did that the other day.
Which I will be right. So if you go to London, there's nothing. It's not been done, and so there's nothing else that I could see in the UK. But if you go to San Francisco or you go to Sydney, and that was the demos. It is very impressive to go to Sydney Opera House and spin it round. And it's, if you remember when Bing did that kind of three-quarter view first, it's that same thing that Google have got and Bing have got, but it's seamless. And you are spinning round. And I showed a couple of guys at work today, and they were like, wow, that is the dogs. But it doesn't help me get to my location. It doesn't do anything
other than it's a good tech demo.
Yeah.
But also, it does help the situation of, you know, it gets you a feel for where you are. But then Street View does that better. You know, Street View does that better.
No, I think the flyover stuff is a total gimmick. It was a great, developers all sitting there going, and they did get a massive, whoa, that's fantastic. But it's just I was so disappointed that, you know, the satellite view of like Glasgow is a waste of time.
You'd rather they concentrated on the satellite views there. Google Maps have now released, they call it their WebGL version, so you can actually go and have a look at all that. And in fact, they've integrated Google Earth stuff, so you can actually do the full flybys, and London looks pretty impressive. So
cool. There was a few other things with Maps as well. They do have turn by turn, which got a big whoop.
And it looked good.
It looked good, and we found out afterwards that TomTom's one of the main players behind that.
Their mapping is backed by quite a number of different companies, isn't it?
Yes.
And includes TomTom. And I think it's probably, TomTom probably went, oi, what are you doing? You're just stealing our entire market.
I guess you might be right. I guess I took the other view. It was Apple were like, right, if we're going to launch a service, how do we compete with Google?
Do we
try and do it ourselves, or do we try and license some of what's out there that's recognised as being really good? They're also going to have a traffic service, and I guess just the amount of iOS devices that are going to be starting to feed back information on traffic and accidents and all that kind of stuff is going to make it pretty compelling.
All I can say is the Android version of that works brilliantly. It's just the killer feature of that phone.
Yep.
It's brilliant. It estimates your arrival times perfectly, and that's all crowdsourced. And if Android can do it across all its platforms, then iOS definitely can.
Absolutely. And I guess interesting to see the effect already. Me and Shaq have got Copilot, and yesterday there's an email came out saying this new app that we were charging you extra for, just download it and you can use it now.
Yeah, they know that they're a bit stuffed.
You know, and that's the thing.
Why would you buy it? Because Codepilot, there's no way it's going to be as good as
The only thing, and our mate Lady pointed it out today, says, does iOS 6 do offline maps? And I says, by the looks of it, no, I've not tried it, but I don't think so. And he went, well, that's a waste of time then. And it's
Android's got that sorted because they're vector-based, means that you don't need a connection to do it.
Yeah, but
as long as you don't change your route.
Yeah. And that's, I guess that's the thing. They're not going to do everything, day one straight away.
No, they can't.
It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah, I think they're pretty mad doing it. I mean, they're just replicating a data source that already exists.
Well,
but it does, like you've put here, the whole thing of chopping Google out is very pronounced.
So it's a big FU.
Yeah, basically, there's no.
That's all it is.
There's no sign of now of Google anywhere.
See the whole Steve Jobs thing last year and the year before when he was on about, we will
nuclear warfare.
Yep. And it's almost like it always ties back to when. Remember, I don't think it was last year, but it was a year before that he did his all company, all hands meeting, and that's when he kind of said the nuclear warfare stuff. It kind of ties up that probably a couple of months later, that's when they started buying these mapping companies.
Yeah.
Because I think, from a search point of view, hey, we can just go use Bing or use somebody else. Maps, right, go and buy these guys.
Yeah, they kind of went, we'll keep using Maps because it's pretty good, but how can we get around it? So they've pretty much got around it. Anyway, iOS 6 is not coming to iPad 1, won't be on...
Which I thought was a shocker.
Really?
It's only 2 years old.
Is that all? I guess, but they're onto the... That's two generations behind. I guess you'd expect it to... Maybe they've got something
but
in it.
It's coming to the 3GS.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that's an absolute shocker.
Well, anyway, it's not happening. So,
so you can be shocked.
So you can think it's a shocker all you like. And I think I can't remember how far back down the iPod Touch route it's going.
It's not coming to the third generation, but I don't know if we're on the fourth or the fifth.
No one knows what that means anyway, unless you've got one. So
yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. That was
but Siri's not
much.
Siri's not coming to iPads.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Two.
Yeah, so it's only
flyover,
the latest iPad.
It doesn't come to four. iPhone 4.
Doesn't come to iPhone 4, no.
So there's a few things. You're just like, ooh.
It's more and more. They're kind of now. Say one of the good things about Apple was it didn't really matter what device you were running. You were nearly always up to date with
generally,
all the software and. They're moving away from that. Definitely.
Generally, it was always the you could be guaranteed. Like, see if you've got the iPhone 4S, whatever's coming in iOS 6 would work perfectly on it. And iPhone 4, there was a couple of things in it. I guess it's still much the same, but
it was more hardware based, though. That's the thing. Yeah. It was more about the hardware available, and all these things that we're seeing differentiation now are just a software based. They would argue that it's processor power, but it's things like now they've also got two versions of Lion. Out there because they got one for this new Retina display, so there's definite spreading going on. Shall we?
It's like they did before when they were the first ones to start ditching floppies, and then they ditched CD ROMs and DVD drives. The Retina display, they're the first ones to kind of make that jump, and I think there's some pain. I think in some ways they still take really bold decisions. That whole move to Intel. When they moved to internet, obviously it was a big pain for developers. That's
best thing since sliced bread now, isn't it?
It's pretty ballsy to go and do stuff like that. And I think they're doing it again. They're saying, look, here's this Retina. We've got the MacBook Pro there. But I can't see anybody buying a MacBook Pro not wanting to buy the Retina one.
No, why? I guess the cost is the only thing.
Hard disk was what somebody pointed out today. If you're a video guy, it's
256 gigabytes is just
it's not going to cut it. And five,
tiny,
the most it goes up to, I think, was 750 it goes up to flash wise.
So you need external drives already.
And
though.
They're talking about, you can go and get a Thunderbolt drive and all that kind of good stuff. And sure,
more money.
The performance wise of a Thunderbolt drive means it's great, but it is a lot of money. And
Thunderbolt we call it Thunderbolt tax, really, don't you? Because the devices that can the support of Thunderbolt are so much more than
how bad was the whoop when it says, oh yeah, we've got a Thunderbolt gigabit Ethernet cable adapter, and people were like, whoop whoop.
That must have been the designer of that bit of the tech spec.
And he said to all his mates, whoop whoop now.
Yeah, whoop now.
I thought it was a really strong keynote, but
It was. It was far, far more interesting and contentful.
Oh, crap. We've spent 44 minutes talking about it as well.
Yeah, we have. Sorry about that, everyone. Let's keep cracking on. We've been so good at keeping to our last two. We're going to have to put makeup for next time. We'll do a short one next time. So let's get on to some other news while we are here talking at you. TomTom.
This story is about TomTom. I guess it's egg in the face for me, because I think a year ago I says, look, they're stuffed. There's no way that TomTom's going to survive. But doing a deal like they've done with Apple, they've seemingly also done recently with BlackBerry. So they've licensed their mapping software and their data with BlackBerry. And I think this is where the future of the company is going. Their share price has jumped 16% in the back of the news that Apple have licensed this.
Because I guess people realise that they are now hooked into this environment for the good, not just on an app basis, but actually baked in. So they're pretty much guaranteed for the next, should we say, 3 years at least, 4 years. And that's quite good in this environment.
And also over time, you know, is it really going to hurt TomTom to get out of hardware? You know,
because it's you know, it's another division that, I mean, they have been criticised on their hardware before now. So why bother? Get someone else who knows what they're doing that.
So it looks quite healthy for them, and also
it
Apple,
looks good for TomTom. But what about the other providers?
Well,
aren't TomTom?
Apple are licensing Getchi, Localize, Urban Mapping, DMTI, Map Data Sciences, as well as TomTom, and also Waze. So there's a fair number of companies that are licensing. You don't know how much money they're getting. I am assuming it is good.
They've got enough money to be spending.
But there are a whole load of other companies that sell GPS software in there that I think I must be going, oh crap.
How the hell, what do we do now? Yeah, oh, I wonder crap. What their share prices are doing.
Yeah, well, as I said, Copilot straight away. You know, it was like, by the way, I know we wanted you to pay for this. Just go and grab it.
Please stay with us for a bit longer. Android, 900,000 activations per day. I know that Google I/O is coming at the end of this month, so I'm sure we're going to have lots more stats, but this is all looking quite healthy. I know Apple made jibes about their divisions of the number of people running operating systems, and we all knew about that anyway.
But it was quite funny.
So nearly a million per day.
Scary.
Big numbers going on. So Android,
and certainly they've had
Android are killing it on the numbers basis. Let's put it that way.
They've had big launches as well. I mean, if you look at the Samsung Galaxy and the HTC phones, they've been really big launches, and it's got, you know, great reviews, universally great reviews, and lots of people buying them.
And sort of who says Apple's approach is the best? Well, developers do, because they're getting annoyed by the fact they can't develop for Android very well. But I'm sure they'll get better at it, or, you know, they'll figure out where someone's, you know, where they're going to make their money. Three have launched European roaming at £5 a day, unlimited. So that's pretty killer.
Yeah, well played, Three. I guess we hear lots of moans. The fact I don't travel very much means it's never happened to me, but we hear lots of moans about, you know, folk going to Europe and getting charged, oh, you know, £50 a day and £5 for a, you know, a meg and all that. There's new laws coming in July, and this is probably one of the first announcements before these new laws kick in.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure we'll see some more of these. But, you know, it's great that, because we're so reliant now on, you know, you take your iPad everywhere and I hook it onto my phone and off I go browsing. Going abroad, you suddenly cut off from all that. So it's actually really nice.
Absolutely. So well,
it's still a lot of money. £5 a day is still quite a lot, but it's definitely more reasonable.
Well, it's more reasonable, but I mean, if I go down to the Holiday Inn in Bristol, they want £15.
Yeah, for a 2 hours credit.
Yeah. You know, and it's to be honest, crap. You that Holiday Inn? Crap.
Yeah. Internet trolls are getting targeted by government legislation. So again, this is more and more, you know, government are getting involved in the internet and figuring out where they want to become involved more heavily, and trolling on the internet. So defamation of character, allegations and all those kind of things. Now, obviously, if you make things like those allegations across other types of media, then you need to be able to back them up. Otherwise, you can get in trouble. And so they're just spreading those laws effectively over to the internet.
So I guess for this one, I'm always for, like, you know, freedom of speech and, you know, people should be able to say what they want, but it's just gone too far. You know, the amount of, I mean, people are getting harassed constantly. You know, so I think it was it the Tory MP Louise Mensch had I think this was announced a couple of days after her trial, and the guy that was trolling her, who, it wasn't just her, it was a number of other people that he was trolling. It's this old guy, and it's just somebody that sits there and thinks I can anonymously destroy you, you know, and, yeah, and it's just not on.
It's such a difficult thing, but what you've got to accept is that laws over time and common law and all that kind of stuff builds up because of, you know, what the majority of people want to, how they want to be able to live their lives. And the internet is no different from that now that it's become mainstream. It wasn't mainstream for a very long time. So it's now mainstream, and therefore it has to come under the controls of the government. No matter what you think, it's going to. I don't think we can argue it anymore. All we can argue really now is that it happens in a reasonable way that isn't stupid. Now, some of the laws we've seen are ridiculously stupid and tilted towards, you know, big business and corporations, whereas this one, you know, if you were on the receiving end of this, I'm sure this sounds like a very, very good idea indeed.
It was also to try and help website operators. So what they were trying to do was take away, you know, like you, if I was trolling you, it was to take away your threat of saying, well, Facebook, I'm going to sue you.
So it's allowing ISPs and website owners to release information if there's harassing or proven, you know, bad behavior. They're saying they're going to word this carefully, and they always say things like this to make sure it doesn't spread beyond the power that it's meant to imply. So they're clearly learning their lessons about just jumping in. They are saying at least that they're going to try and word this carefully.
And hopefully it's not like the kind of super injunctions, which all get like taken too far, you know. And that's I guess that's the issue with this. If you know, if websites were getting like hundreds a day you know, requests
And you know, we see stupid libel cases and stuff in the courts that you know, you said that they sneezed wrong or something, they take you to court. So, you know, and whether we start seeing silly things like that happening, I guess time will tell. Top level domains. We can have a dot Scott.
Can we have a dot cock?
probably can.
for whoever dreamed this up. This is rubbish.
Such a money spinner. It's amazing. So people have been clambering to register their top level domain so they can have, you know, web.bbc is one. So BBC have applied for their top level domain. Cost them $183,000 just to apply.
Yeah.
And then you pay about £25,000 ongoing. Sorry, $25,000 ongoing yearly to keep it going. But obviously there's been a great deal of interest because, again, for big companies, it's nothing. So Google have been spraying top-level domains left, right and centre with things. But there's been other interesting ones. Some have been applied for by more than one person, and therefore they have to now go to an auction to go and work out who's going to eventually own and control.
Everybody, there was a whole, I think there was 13 of them are chasing like book
dot book, yep,
you know, so they're all wanting the dot, but I don't know, to me this is just going to make it more confusing.
It's another thing to try and, you know, yeah, do, is it dot BBC? I don't know,
but how many people use like dot net and dot biz and dot co instead of .com, and
they're always the fourth thing you try when you've tried the .co.uk, .com and all that things, aren't they? But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know if I have an opinion. You know, iPlayer.bbc sounds all right to me.
But just to apply for this, you paid $185,000. If more than
it
one
sounds
person,
like you're guaranteed. Now, if you were the only one that went for that top level domain, it sounds like you're guaranteed it. It's just that, yeah, you risked if more than one person went for it. Yeah.
But if there's like the 10 that have gone doing the dot book, they'll now investigate, and if nobody looks like the sensible winner, they'll now go to an auction. You're thinking, this is just license to print money. And I still think ICANN shouldn't be a profit making firm.
No, it shouldn't really.
It's a joke.
I would have loved this to go to the Dragon's Den. Someone would have said, you're not allowed to do that.
Exactly.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Here's a printing machine. I'm going to print some money.
And I think from memory, I think Dot Scott is only applied for by one.
Scott is definitely gone to.
And Nominate have got Dot Wales and Dot. Another
dot
one
Comrade.
Yeah, that's it. But there's other Coca-Cola. Kellogg's decided to abstain. They're totally
two of the biggest
this.
Brands said, no, yeah. We don't want to have a branding URL.
And Google, they've
I guess they didn't want to be held to ransom on the money front.
But Google have got .google, .youtube, and also things like .lol, .lol.
That's quite clever.
Yeah.
So, but they got enough money to be, I mean, spreading around whatever they want.
It's just going to make it so confusing. Anyway.
It
rubbish.
Is, you're probably
right. I'm an old Luddite. Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish.
Come on, we're pushing on to an hour. We're going to ruin everyone here. Come on. Twitter launching tailored trends. So their trending pages are now going to take into account who you follow, what they're doing, what you say, stuff like
that. So instead of getting like constant Justin Bieber.
Bieber's doing this.
Or like Britain's Got Talent rubbish or Big Brother. Well, there's only three people watch for that. So. Yeah. So instead of getting that, you now get trends that actually make sense. So when we checked ours, like mine's was like WordPress and something about a design conference.
Mine's quite motorsport based, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually think it's going to make it far more useful. So
Can always go back to seeing the worldwide trends by turning your location off, basically.
Or you can go in and see by location as well, so you can see what all the Glaswegians are talking about, or you can go and see what all the Londoners are talking about.
That's a good actually point. I forgot to say that, the trending not only takes into account what you do, it's also taking into account where you are.
Yes.
Which is clever. 4/7, new TV channel by Channel 4.
And the programmes are chosen by Facebook.
There you go. So whatever people are chatting about, critics are talking about, people are commenting on, basically that will drive. And it's only TV shows that have happened in the last 4 days across Channel 4 network, obviously. But it's almost like a scheduled iPlayer based around what people are talking about. Quite an interesting concept, I thought.
Yeah.
They're gonna blast up the comments and stuff, sort of as text ahead of showing the shows.
It'll be interesting to see if it actually generates much of a different channel. I think initially they're only going to do a kind of 8 to 10 slot at night is the only one that's chosen. Yeah. But I can see that changing if it becomes popular.
So outside that time, I guess they'll schedule whatever they happen to have that they want to show.
I think they're saying it's basically the previous day. They're just going to repeat the previous day the next day, apart from the 8 to 10 slot, and make that the kind of Facebook chosen one.
So it's Channel 4 plus 1.
Plus 24.
Plus 1 day.
No, it's definitely plus 24.
Okay, plus 24, whatever. Okay, an interesting concept. Another TV channel to add to the pile that I'll probably never, ever watch.
And just when you say about the plus 24, and I know I'm wasting time, but I can't help it, the amount of people on Daybreak's Twitter stream that complain that the time's wrong because they're watching it in the plus one, ITV plus one, and it's like every day somebody will say, you do know your time's wrong. And they have to do a little kind of, you do know you're watching it in plus one.
And then they go, yes. That is us. We just about made it within the hour. Sorry about that. Of course we were going to chat
about. I'm not sorry at all.
No, we shouldn't be sorry about that. We have kept it short for you all, so in the past, and we will go back to short. But
it was a big keynote.
We had to chat. It was a good keynote. If it had been rubbish, I would have made sure that we just rabbited through it. Anyway, so that is us. We've got no picks for you today, just as well. But if you want to find out more about us and what we do, digitaloutbox.com, you can contact us, info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, Ian.
I'm on Twitter as Shweeper, my blog's END.net. I just want to say a quick thanks to Jim, who's put through some nice Mac apps that we need to take a look at and maybe recommend to our listeners.
Excellent.
Oh, and one last thing. I did buy that bundle last week, and I played Civ for about 3 hours on Sunday morning. And all I did was install it just to make sure it worked. And 3 hours later, I was like, oh, I've got it.
And then you realise quite how slow Civ games are. It's amazing.
No, I loved it.
Yeah, it's good. And just as an update, our mate Paul, he's gone. He's bought an iMac. Yeah, there we go. And he bought the bundle based on our recommendation through our affiliate link.
Even better. Even so, better.
Yeah, go get your Mac bundle through our affiliate link, digitaloutbox.com.
You have no shame.
We might be up to 10 cents.
I found that too funny.
That's it for today. We will speak it next week. And so we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.